Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our favorite time of the week.
High school sweethearts turned married couple with two kids.
Join us for a conversation on life, parenting, marriage, and more.
Welcome to Close Enough.
Mic check. Is this loud?
Got to check it for Ellis.
I don't trust his old man ears.
I don't know.
We all know how his vision's going. If you've ever seen Jason Ellis order off a menu, you know what I mean.
We should not make fun. I'm a visually impaired person. I have contacts.
He's one more prescription on his glasses away from Braille.
Stop. That's not funny.
Close enough. And that's what this is. Close enough. Kind of a couple days late, but it's been, it's summer, you know? We do what we want.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I get this message unexpectedly. Hey, I just signed up for Acast Plus from our boy, legacy member, sugar daddy, Philip Smith. So, Philip, congratulations. Yeah.
That's a great.
Is that what we should call him? If you subscribe, we call him our sugar daddies.
Like, instead of calling people donors,
sugar daddies,
or whatever it is, like when people ask for donations, like, or sponsorships. That's the word I was looking for.
Sugar daddies.
Sugar daddies.
And let me tell you, that means the world to me because you can listen to this 106 episodes for free. Doesn't cost you anything. But we have some tools available to us for subscribers. So we may just I can read him a book on an episode that only he can listen to. A little ASMR. Philip, you hit us up, whatever you want. You are legacy. Sugar daddy numero uno. And that means the world to me. Like, who in the fucking world would think somebody would pay for something for free? It's like the
Gary Thomas reads Moby Dick by Herman Melville.
Oh, I would take some liberties with that.
You didn't read it the first time in high school, along with Scarlet Letter.
That was Seth.
That was both of you.
I can't confirm that. I'm not.
I don't know what
happened. That part of my life was a little hazy.
A lot of things are hazy. Like, you totally forgot an entire conversation we had today in the same text thread where we had that conversation.
How early is too early for dementia?
I don't know. You got something going on up there.
But we're off and running. We hope everybody had a great Father's Day. Hope you got what you wanted.
Did you have a good Father's Day?
I had a great Father's Day. I got lots of time to play Rust to myself. Got some good food. Abby got me some protein drinks. She got me some Starburst.
You kind of got yourself your own gift.
I'm just saying that.
Supposed to get you something else? I thought you said that's what you wanted.
It was what I wanted, but it just so happened to coincide with Father's Day.
Gotcha.
Spoiler alert for the listeners of Beers and Beards podcast, David and Seth are very similar in that they take 22 vacations a year.
I think you're jealous.
The fuck? You're right. I'm jealous. Okay. No. This is color me jealous.
Okay. Just really.
I hope one day when I go visit them in federal prison for whatever acts they may, however they fund these things.
Wow.
They buried it somewhere and I can go on a Disney vacation.
Gotcha. Wow. So is David at Disney?
No, he's at like the Great Lakes or something. Something boring.
What is wrong with you? Something boring.
Probably a brewery, a little pop-up microbrewery on the ocean.
I told you, I think we have a microbrewery in our town now.
But that could mean so many different things. It just means little. Micro just means little.
Okay. Yes, but little brewery, what else could that be?
They brew 30 pints a year.
Okay.
I don't know.
Man, you are also a curmudgeon. Like, now you're forgetting shit, and now you're just
no.
Grumpy.
I'm not grumpy, but we did a live podcast. Abby was there.
Rob, you weren't.
At a brewery, and I had to take shots at breweries. Yeah. I'm not a craft beer guy. I'm not a beer guy in general.
Why does that entitle you to take shots at other people?
Why does it not? Is the main question.
Okay.
I've been labeled as a hater.
You are. Can you just be happy for other people?
Like, secretly I'm happy.
And
like
what they do?
I want them to live their lives and be their best selves. But
I don't think that's true.
It is true.
You don't communicate that.
When I stop, if you are my friend or even remote associate and I stop making fun of you, our relationship's over.
That's such a weird thing to say to people.
That's my love language to my friends.
Got it.
And most of them do a good job of giving it back to me.
You deserve it.
I didn't say I didn't.
So mean.
I'm deserving of so many things, and that being one of them.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, where were we? Microbrewery. How awful. No, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to go check it. We'll have to invite David down. We'll go check out this microbrewery.
Yeah, I just...
All this to say, I found a bottle of Basil Hayden Toast. Now, I like a low-proof bourbon.
Yeah, toast. Sorry.
I was giving the cut sign. It's 80 proof.
Okay.
So it's like it's the design. Basil Hayden's one of the biggest, like when people give gifts of bourbon, usually it's Basil Hayden. Because it's that mid-range, right? Like, okay. It's not a cheap bourbon, but it's not super expensive bourbon, and the bottle looks nice, and it tastes good.
All right.
Right? You a Basil Hayden fan?
I like it.
Yeah. So I've had Basil Hayden, Basil Hayden Rye, Basil Hayden Subtle Smoke, which I really love, and now I've got Basil Hayden Toast, and I've been looking for it for a while.
Why is it called toast?
It's supposed to be toasty. I don't know. I haven't read the bottle. I saw it. And I kind of did a little woohoo in my head and grabbed it and ran.
Thought there was like a researched reason behind you wanting this.
No, it was like it's a new sampling from Basil Hayden.
Hey guys, Basil Hayden Poop is coming out. Gary would love to taste it. He's looking forward to it.
What is?
Just like, woo!
No, like they I read the press release when it came out. Like, it's supposed to be an introductory bourbon, something that would get you into bourbon drinking. It's not like super spicy, lower proof, but it'll get you drunk.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Got you a little bottle of bourbon.
I hadn't drank in many weeks. Since my 2 weekend seltzer phase.
That was a great time. 9 a.m. Yeah, Gary was like, breakfast seltzer. Okay.
I was channeling my inner Lacey Lewis.
It got a little questionable there with the breakfast seltzers. One was a mimosa, I think.
They are tasty. Turns out they give me heartburn. And I'm not used to that.
Heartburn is from the devil.
I mean, it's not a gift from the Almighty.
I had it vaguely while pregnant, but then after kids, it's like, because I like spicy things.
Not me.
But it was a no-goes on the spicy things with heartburn. But now at this point, like, and I don't really drink sugary drinks because of the heartburn. And I've never really loved a lot of the sugary stuff.
Seltzers aren't sugary.
I picked it. I mean, they have a sugary sweet.
They have pure cane sugar in them.
Yeah, but that's...
Anyway.
All that to say,
I drank on a business trip to Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
So, I got to... Since COVID, my first business trip, I drive the 7 hours to Memphis.
I love Memphis. I'm so sad I didn't get to
go. I don't love Memphis. I mean, I don't want to offend our friend Haley, who lives there. Maybe the outskirts of Memphis are nice, but Memphis is not nice.
Yeah, there's a lot to do other than go downtown on Beale Street. There's so much more.
I'm sure, yeah. But so we stayed at the Peabody. Google it. It's where the ducks, they have the little duck parade. The ducks live in the hotel. At one time, I'd say it was super fancy, but it's just dated now. I had a nice room.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It's an expensive hotel. But you
didn't really get out of the hotel.
Yeah, so we went to Beale Street as soon as we got there and ate. Turns out they were having a hot rod festival, which that was pretty cool. I'm not a car guy, but it was some cool cars there. And half the restaurants aren't open.
That's wild.
So we go into one restaurant. There's one server. And this is one of the only restaurants open. People are piling in. And I tell she's visibly getting shook. Like, fuck this place.
I quit.
As always, I was very nice to her. Turns out it paid off. We got our food before people that ordered before us. So
nice.
So I got my real Memphis barbecue while I was there. Got it in nacho form, which everything about the nachos was Memphis. It was like smoked cheese.
Yeah.
With paprika on it.
That sounds delicious. That was a little weird.
And it had like barbecue brisket on it.
That sounds awesome.
Not a huge brisket fan.
Why?
Because it's too moist.
Oh my God.
I like my meat dry. So I clip that. Anyway, went back to the hotel. Me and my partner got a drink, met with some old friends. And then that's when the fun began. Because we were the guests, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people were being very hospitable to us, buying us drinks, offered to buy us dinner. I was like, you don't understand. We just had dinner. Oh, you can have another dinner. I was like, is that a fat joke? They didn't really get it. And I had to say, listen, I have sweat through my underwear because I walked to Beale Street. It's 9,000 degrees. You all go have dinner. I'm going to go have a shower.
That's the truth.
It's the truth. I mean, it was 101 degrees.
It was hot.
I walked 4 blocks to Beale Street or 3, and I was like, this is what hell is going to be like. Go back. Take a shower, talk to my beautiful wife, get her settled for the night.
We're going through all the details.
Yeah. Go downstairs. Being a courteous Kentucky gentleman,
yeah,
I took my own bottle of bourbon.
Okay.
Took it into the lobby.
Oh, my God.
Poured myself a drink.
Well, this hill jack just showed up with his bourbon.
We get with our group, right? And they're, we have a generous benefactor buying us drinks, which is awesome. But I have my bottle with me, and I have it on the table. And this nice lady from the hotel comes. She says, sir, I can't allow you to open that. We could get fined. I said, oh, don't worry. It's just for decoration.
Okay. Did you put it up?
It was for decoration. Oh, my God. I did slide it by my feet.
That was nice of you.
Did it stop me from pouring another drink out of it?
No.
No. Because you know when old GT gets going.
Oh, my God.
Once you get that, like, one or two bourbons, I'm borderline ready for bed. Right? Like,
yeah.
But when you power through to that third one.
Is that what it is?
All bets are off.
Number three
is like, that's when you switch gears.
Okay. Third gear. We're going to remember that.
That's when it doesn't matter what kind of bourbon you drink because it's all going to taste the same.
Third drink, Gary.
I have been known to do 10 shots before noon.
Well, I hope you're enjoying it and you drank plenty and had a great time.
I did, but I didn't feel good the next day. I got to present, so I got a crowd.
Oh, God.
And let's just say I murdered.
Got a tight 10 up there.
I did 45.
Did 45.
Did a great
job. I'm proud of you, though. I am proud of you. I'm proud you had a successful presentation. I
had a talk today about reprising my role on stage in California.
What, there's something in California?
Yeah, in December.
Oh, you got one?
Just depends. Okay. I'm going to need another generous benefactor to get me there.
Gotcha.
Because we all know the Commonwealth ain't too keen on spending that money.
Well, yeah, when you are sitting here publicly saying, whilst going, you just...
Oh, that was off the clock doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you what I've never done on the old...
On the old business trip?
Business trip. Never had a generous benefactor buying me drinks and...
Let's just say the respect for law enforcement isn't dead.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, back home.
We were glad to have you home.
I'm a good one night away. Like one night, I'm good. That second day, I was like, you know what? I could probably go home.
I've had enough of this.
You know, I went to this fancy restaurant, which was way too fancy for me. Ordered chicken and waffles. It had a mushroom sauce. Didn't know.
I don't think it could be like super fancy if chicken and waffles is on the menu.
So Google it. It's a place called Flight.
Okay.
So you order things and you get them in threes, like three entrees.
Do they have chicken nuggies and fries?
If they did, I would have got that.
Did it come?
There was no chicken. Chicken and waffles was the most Gentile thing I could order on the menu. One, I'm not a fan of seafood. Tons of seafood.
Yum.
And then all kinds of weird meat. Not into that.
What kind of weird meat?
Like elk.
That's
fine. I mean, it's not weird. I mean, I just didn't want to Joe Rogan it while I was down there.
Okay. All right.
But all that to say, I was told we couldn't leave the restaurant till we all ordered a dessert.
Okay.
And I had a fabulous key lime pie. My favorite.
You do love key lime. We have not had any key lime pie up in this house this summer because it has been Popsicle City.
Oh, my God. Don't even.
We have solved all the world's problems.
With popsicles.
With popsicles.
I didn't even eat dinner the other night. I just had about 12 popsicles.
You're talking like the flavor ice. I don't know. People, regionally, they're called different things. Like Otter Pops, flavor ice. They're just popsicles here.
Just popsicles.
Also,
I've been seeing the trend on TikTok where they snap them in half.
I've noticed.
Turns out I can't do that. I tried.
You tried?
I guess it wasn't. The Kroger brand doesn't freeze like all the way.
So what you can do is put them in a bowl like.
With salt?
No. Oh. Hush. Like take the unfrozen popsicle. It doesn't necessarily be a bowl, but anything like a rim, like a cup, and you, while it's unfrozen, you split it in half, and then you get a natural break in the juice.
Hang it over.
Yeah. And so you freeze it like that, and then you have two popsicles.
Life hacks.
Things I learned on TikTok.
I've been so disappointed in TikTok.
It's really stopped you. Like, I guess you're so disappointed you keep watching.
Just to send you fun. Like, I've not learned anything. I've sent you a lot of funny things.
It's because you don't want to learn. Learning is a mindset. I don't know that your TikTok is set up for learning, though. That's not your algorithm.
Could be.
At all. Which, it's so, like, we are naturally talking about, like, algorithm now, and what is your algorithm, and... You know, I'll have friends that, like, there's some things, though, Gary and I will, like, I'll send you something, like, I already saw that. So there's some things that are, we're syncing up.
Yeah, we are, a lot.
Yeah. On the humor side of things, I think. A lot of family, you know, husband, wife, dumb kids sort of things.
Would you say our kids are dumb?
No, kids in general are dumb. Not, like, in intelligent. I'm just like, just the hypothetical. Like
who, what kind of like, Lord and Savior thought it was going to be the move to have people procreate? And instead of just like making clones of each other, like what if God started everybody off at age, I don't know, 18?
Oh my God.
Like you just,
that's you're even 18. Worse. It's even worse. Anyway.
I don't know what I learned from 1 to 18 that prepared me for adulthood.
Obviously.
I don't know what I learned from 18 to 41 that's prepared me for adulthood.
You know, it just shows a little on some people.
Like, I'm sitting in this room in Memphis. And I'm looking around at all these super successful people in these big companies, and I'm like, I am the lowest paid person here.
But you are the best.
By probably six figures.
It is wild. It is wild to me to be in the public world, to be public servant land, government worker, state worker, and then when you interact with or talk to people
in the private sector.
In the private sector. I had a friend recently
like they're slumming to talk to us. Right.
Well, no. She was helping out in an office and she went to help make copies. You know, this is a business. And she's like front, back, half sheets, like conserving as much paper as possible. And the other person's like, what are you doing? She's like, but we're so conditioned to be like, I'm sorry, we can't use a lot of paper. And there's just minor little things that, you know, aside from, you know, business accounts and things that just don't make sense in our world. It just doesn't translate.
I think we reap a lot of benefits.
Sure. Paychecks,
not one of them.
No, I will not deny that I love and am made for and called to what I do 100%. But I'm just saying the juxtaposition, putting those two things side by side, sometimes it's just, it's comical. One of the things on my TikTok is a lot of teachers leaving. There are people now, former teachers who are now out, who are making their job, their career, their little side hustle is teaching other teachers how to leave, how to rewrite your resume, you know, because to not sound like everything you've done has been centered around education. So, and there's a lot of valuable, you know, obviously skills that we have, but that is one of the aspects of that. So there's a whole little thread of TikTok of teachers talking about what it's like now that they've left and gone into private sector, private jobs, and what their life is like, you know, aside from paycheck stuff. And
yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
So I feel like now torn, you know, because I'm a scholar.
Right.
Probably going to be a spiritual guide at some point.
Yes. Obviously.
I listened to Ron White talk about his ayahuasca experience.
Did you? That was a good podcast. I liked that podcast a lot. He is such a good storyteller.
He is. I'm not real big on his comedy. Like, it's funny. Like, when he did it with Jeff Foxworthy and all that.
Sure.
You know, the whole tater tot thing. Like, that's, you know.
But for me, tater salad, yeah. That side isn't good, but I've enjoyed learning about him outside. Like there's a really cool stories to him outside of, you know.
He's like best friends with Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Like, it's so weird.
Super odd.
So he's a very interesting cat, but.
But anyway.
So you're going to do a
but,
little.
But now, you know, I've in that week alone, I had two people kind of bluntly tell me like, hey, you know, there's jobs in these certain fields, two of them completely different. I won't say what they are, but mm-hmm. like yeah. in the private world that the money would just be crazy. And I'm like, right. What have I done with my life? You know, and I've had this not like I tell you, I have so much regret and shame and like this failure complex. Mm-hmm. That like when people say that, I'm like, why didn't I do that? And I know a lot of it I've been building towards this, but I mean, there's people half my age doing those jobs, you know, like why didn't
right.
I, you know, some people just fall on a barrel full of assholes and come out sucking a titty. You never, I mean, I was not gifted with that in life. I know some people that have that privilege.
I don't know that you were, it's not that you weren't gifted. It's like you weren't just like throwing yourselves in barrels of assholes though. Like, I don't know. You know, if that's the analogy you want to go with.
Abby's talked me into going to therapy.
I didn't talk you into it. No. If that is the frame, if that's the story you're telling yourself, then you need to
listen. You need no to take, doubt that if you even listen to 30 minutes, you know I need therapy. So there, like,
so if you're saying I talked you into it,
you
need to tell a different story there, or you need to use some different verbiage there because I don't think I talked you into it.
You recommended it.
I have.
And I acted on that because I knew if in that moment I didn't, I wouldn't do it.
Okay. Is there any part of you, like when you say I've recommended it, you're doing this willingly though? Like you see.
Yeah, you didn't like threaten to divorce me if I didn't get therapy.
Right.
You didn't hold a gun to my head. You're not withholding like food or sex from me, you know? So.
No, but obviously, you know, it's something that I value.
Yes.
And I think everybody.
But I have all the answers, so why would I need to go?
Sure you do. Sure you do. Everybody would need.
I like thinking it was like a maybe just a shadowing project.
It. I hate that there exists such a stigma on it. Like, you would never shy away, which, you know, we've had issues with trying to get you to the fucking doctor, too, but.
That's a whole other story.
And the dentist, and no one shies away from talking about those things, and generally getting, you know, appointments for themselves in those realms. Why so hesitant? Why so someone talked me into this? Why not so willingly say, I go to therapy? Straight up.
That's basically what I just did.
So, but I still feel like, I feel like there's going to be a part of you or a piece of you, and just the way you frame that, or maybe that's just how you are.
Let me tell my own story. Let me tell myself my own story.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, yeah. We have been to the doctor and dentist, and I think that's it.
No,
I went to the eye doctor once.
I think I need to go to the eye doctor.
Listen, this one here is great. Anyway, more this year. I got a call from the insurance company today, and I was like, well, this is the call. They're about to drop us. They're actually offering me more services. I was like,
did you take them? Was it free?
They're just telling me what's a bit. Yeah. Oh, okay. What's a bit, like an on-call, a nurse on-call.
Oh.
So, I mean, just our health plan, what some of the benefits it is. I mean, I think they call every year.
Just to tell you. That's cool.
But we're pushing six figures in billings to our insurance this year.
Wild.
So, from now until December, it's game on. You need something done, doctor.
I was listening to, her name's Katie Porter.
She's a representative, right?
Yes, California. And she's the whiteboard lady. If you've ever watched her, she will get out a whiteboard and in hearings and just, she asks questions knowing what your answer is going to be, and then she will shred you with her little whiteboard. It's a thing of beauty. But she was talking about, like, I think it's something like doctors spend less than 15 minutes on average with a patient.
My appointment tomorrow is for 15 minutes.
Yes, because majority of their time is spent on the paperwork that they have to complete for insurance purposes. And it's something like 200, I'm going to go back and look at the numbers on this. Like $200 billion or some wild ass number that we spent on just administrative costs to.
But Medicare does it for so cheap.
Yeah. Like once you factor in Medicare, it's like, yeah, you don't only save money, but you actually get more time with patients because you're not doing all these administrative costs. I had never thought, like, it just never occurred to me the amount of time for, like.
Like in your head, they're going from one patient, and that's really not the case.
Absolutely. And I should know that because as a teacher, the amount, you know, my day is not just like, oh, let's teach the children. And once, you know,
Children need the learnings.
No, and once fourth period's done, boom, that class is done. No, there is paperwork that has to be done for each of those children, whether it's checking their learning for that day on top of whatever. So, I mean, it's wild.
Yeah.
But that was just.
I'm going to schedule maybe 15, 30 minutes a week with Jeremy just to see how he's doing. Check just on his to hay.
I just in
so
general.
So, what are you doing here today, Garrett? Well, you know, I just. Consider this a tip. It's free. Like, the insurance is going to pay you whatever you charge them.
When I would go, and I was pregnant with Charlie, and I would go, and she'd be like, you have any questions? Like, nope. I just wanted to, like, bother no one. And I really didn't have any questions because I was going to Google everything I need to know anyway. And I had been doing all the readings and stuff. I just generally did not want to bother people, you know, with my questions. And I was kind of.
Do you feel different now when you go to the doctor?
As far as like asking more questions, sometimes. I don't know. I don't go. I mean, I go for very specific things and I address those things. And I don't know. I think I speak up when I need to. But I don't know. They're always like, wow, nothing? No. Just make sure I'm not dying. We're good. Talk to you in a year or whenever I panic next time and have to see. But yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. So I've got two doctor's appointments this week. Like Abby said, I've never wanted. Like, and I'll say this, if I ever get cancer, you'll never know.
Oh my God.
You'll never know.
Here's the thing. I'll find out. So don't worry. We'll know. You say that, but I'll figure it out. Is that your inbox? And is it completely empty?
It is.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That is unreal.
The only thing I keep are like the updates, and that's like Amazon.
That's like your use everyday email.
This?
Like not a not work email, but just a use everyday email.
Yeah, I keep it like, I keep it clean.
That is unreal. That was a goal for me this summer was to try to clean up
my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, oh my gosh, somebody called me asking about my LinkedIn profile. Clearly it was like Scammy McScammerson. I was like, but I want to be like, hold up, wait, what? What are you going to be? I wanted to interrogate like, what's this about?
I guess it's about 2 years ago. I got a call from a recruiter.
This was not a recruiter.
For something, but you know, like when I talk to my friends in the private world, that's the go-to. Like that's the LinkedIn hub. Yeah, like
wild.
You know.
Yeah, that's it. It's weird because in education, you know, we have a whole internal. You know,
yeah.
You just it. There's no need for that, I guess. But that was just interesting to me. But I wanted to know more of like, how do people use LinkedIn? What is it like? I got one just because I was trying to see somebody else's LinkedIn profile, and I never like got rid of it.
Something that we try to do every week, Abby and I, is take an hour or two to ourselves. We'll force our 14-year-old to. Attempt to be responsible for that time to watch our 4-year-old.
Yeah,
and we go out and have lunch or we go to the Amish Save a Lot, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so many discussions are had and then some sayings are had. And I wrote this down because I wanted to share it this week of some of Abby's sayings on our little excursions.
Wait, I said those all at the same time? Doesn't sound like me.
Yes, you did say all these within an hour of each other.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
All right.
Here's the first one.
Okay. Get to explain them?
Yeah. Want to buy a church?
No, listen. In a local area, there is a church for sale.
It's not local. It's 60 miles away.
Local. There is a church for sale for $100,000. The sanctuary alone is like 1,400 square feet with a baptismal. It has a kitchen. It has like regular bathrooms, but there was also a bathroom with a shower in it. So there was like three toilets, triple what we got now. And there was like plenty of parking. There was a kitchen.
I don't know how I feel about living in a church.
Well, you can, people convert them all the time.
Do you take the steeple off or what do you do?
No, that's for character. But you could.
Did it have stained glass windows?
Yes, it did. It was pretty. Like for somebody who talks his big bullshit game about like, I'm spiritual leader, you should have jumped at that opportunity.
No, my congregation's going to pay for a new church.
Okay.
I'll take hand-me-downs.
But it was, what a cool thing. Like, I do have a fascination with potentially living in a place that is not
traditional.
Traditional, yes. What?
Okay.
I just think that, I mean, it was cheap.
Yeah.
Great space. And it had, like, Sunday school rooms. This could be the kids' bedrooms.
Okay. I'm just professing.
No, you absolutely shut it down immediately.
Listen.
So if like a church opened up closer,
it just depends.
Would you buy it?
I'd have to vet it out.
There'd have to be some construction to go on. I mean, you'd obviously have to like convert some space.
Here's the next thing.
Okay.
I want to be a sustainability farmer.
I think I could have probably went without the sustainability part and just say farmer.
Here's what happened. We got rid of Harlan's play area on the side. We have about 9 square feet of space to grow things.
I just haven't had time. I have been so busy.
No. I'm just saying that's what we're working with to be sustainable.
Okay. Victory Gardens were like what back in the day?
I have no idea what that is. I wasn't around then.
Victory Gardens? I think every family was like asked to like grow their own food. We are coming upon hard times, sir.
I know.
We need to learn how to grow our own food. We offer nothing to this world. You and I have
entertainment.
Nothing.
This podcast will see us through.
Nobody is going to give a shit. Like, I've got a tomato plant and a hot glue gun, and that's about it. That's all I can offer this world.
Sell my body.
That maybe that's what we have. And we've got the two freeloaders upstairs that don't offer shit. Gotta
sacrifice them in the beginning.
At all. Like, they're less useful than us. You ask the older one to do dishes, and it's like, you've just. But seriously. So, sustainability farming, I am on an area of TikTok. It's not quite prepper TikTok, but there is, like, a lot of. Okay, this isn't farming, but related to, like, homesteading, yeah. Like, growing your own shit, canning your own shit. You can can ground. Have I talked about this? You can ground beef and keep it. It's Sloppy Joe's. We could can Sloppy Joe's. I need a pressure cooker. Can we have a GoFundMe for that? Like, set up a link tree for...
You have a pressure cooker. You have an Instapot. That's a pressure.
You
That's
can't
literally
can in an Instapot that I know of.
It is literally a pressure cooker. That's what it does.
A canner to can things. Okay. I'm Googling it. You cannot can.
All right. So that's where we are in the apocalypse. We're praying.
Let me plug in my Instapot. Anybody want some rice? I can do 2 cups of rice. Anybody need that? That's my recipe. And God forbid if you put a single freaking spice in it. You can't do that. Just plain old sticky long grain white rice.
Jasmine rice.
Jasmine.
Hey, Gary, have you ever heard of Gamergate, which I think was probably at least 5-6 years ago?
Okay.
It turns out I had. I'm up on the
YouTube. I'm just, it's so old. Oh, my God.
I talked with you. I did not act like that. I was interested. I let you talk.
Okay.
Told you what I knew about it. My man Total Biscuit was all in there. Rest in peace. He died of rectal cancer.
We recommend to not use Instapot for pressure canning. That is coming straight from the homesteading network.
All right.
So back to Gamergate. I got put on to that. My friend Jesse put me onto this podcast called Rabbit Hole. The New York Times. It is pretty badass. It's like a series, not I don't, it's not a, like a regular podcast. So it basically explains, I need to see what year that came out in. They took a guy's, he volunteered up. Apparently he kind of went viral on YouTube. His name's Caleb. For, I just type in podcasts. I wonder if my head's a podcat.
Yeah.
Okay. So it takes him, yeah, this is a little, it's a little, well, 2020 is where it started, but it goes back into this guy's life, like 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
So is that Gamergate?
Yeah.
All right. His name's Caleb, and essentially what they do is he's a very normal, average teenager who, once he got high-speed internet, like he was a gamer, computer games and such, but once he got high-speed internet, things kind of changed for him. Like, he dives deeper into gaming. I think at one point he was just like a PlayStation kind of kid, and then that gets stolen. Just a series of things happen, and then he gets high-speed internet, gets into gaming online, Twitch, like that whole, like, streaming.
It's about the same time I did.
Okay. So YouTube becomes a huge force in his life, which we've talked about this before. YouTube is not a prevalent everyday app for me. Whereas
my highest app, the most usage per day for me
is YouTube.
Yep.
And for most it is, like, it is something wild. Like, if you take everybody's content, everybody's hours viewed of videos viewed, it's like every single day, it's like 100 million years or something. It's wild. Like, that it, you don't even know the end of it, like how much people are watching YouTube. Okay.
I would rather watch YouTube than traditional TV.
Okay. I just don't follow what, and you're watching video game, you're watching,
like, I showed you my, because the gist of this is that this guy goes down this rabbit hole.
Oh,
and the algorithm's feeding him this stuff.
Hold up. Other things happen before them. So it's kind of pre-YouTube.
We can listen to the podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. We just heard your play-by-play of Memphis. People know what day you showered at Memphis. But God forbid I explain in detail a podcast. Please, sir. Okay. Oh. Patience. Oh, my God. So they take not only his YouTube, he kind of offers up his YouTube history, which, oh, my God. Like, what a private thing to let, like, the guy even told him from the New York Times, like, just so we're clear, this would freak me out too, man. Because the guy was, like, really embarrassed because it was him, like, 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And
I didn't know it tracked you that long.
He got it. So they took it. And then they set it up against, so they went in and analyzed it. These guys from New York Times analyzed it compared to what's going on in the world at that time, what's going on specifically in this kid's life at that time, and what's YouTube doing? How does YouTube operate? And this perfect storm kind of gathers when it gets into this rabbit hole. He is kind of radicalized. Is that a word?
Yeah.
By YouTube videos, but it shows how that happens, how the algorithm fed into that.
They slowly getting
wild. But
this is like the documentary we watched, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
Social media.
It is. It was interesting. Like, it wasn't happenstance. Like, there were just things that, you know, you want to sit back and think. So I saw this quote.
Like, anybody who uses YouTube knows this is what they're doing.
I think so, but I don't think, 2015, 2016, I don't know that everybody's aware of that. I don't think, because as the person said, where does my personality end and where does the internet begin? Like, how do you know? am I consciously choosing this, or is this being selected for me?
Well, it's so for me. You look at my algorithm. I showed you this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can pull up right now. It's going to be the same thing. Daily, it's the same thing.
Sure.
There'll be two Rust videos, a theme park video, and a stand-up comedy. And it just repeats. Like it doesn't, like, of course there's sponsored things in there, but like that's what over the years what has cultivated, or I can, you know, because you watch something and suggest another video and like that's the rabbit hole you go down.
The recommendations, right? It's the recommendation. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's like you pull, like if you're on a computer, you pull it up, you see the recommendations on the side, recommended videos. Yeah. And they're all similar to the one you're watching. So it's not like randomly he gets served a video that's going to turn him radical. He went down, he started down that path.
Right. And the more hours you put into it, the more hours. And the fact is that.
Which is great for keeping you on YouTube.
Which it all comes down to. And they spoke to a guy who was in that very initial phase of we got to get more people on, and he starts getting icky with it, and he's like, I'm bouncing on this, because it was how it was not malicious, other than we want to keep you on YouTube.
Yeah.
So obviously giving you what you like. And
but and why it, do they want to keep you on YouTube?
For not ads.
So they can run ads.
Right.
Make that bazillion dollars.
Sure.
Because I love YouTube culture. I get into YouTube. I used to be into the YouTube drama scene. Like, if y'all want to watch Scarce or Drama Alert, you know all the shit that's going on with, between YouTubers. It's like the 6 o'clock news, but what's happening on YouTube?
That's wild.
And they and at one time that blew up, and like there's a like just the like I said, I'm a video game theme park guy, so I'm not. You're not going to get me. Like the only thing I can say is it turned me a little anti Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I was Universal heavy, so, okay. You know. But I feel like as an adult, you know that that's happening.
You think that. You think that. But how many adults do we know that don't know that? That don't believe that? That don't understand? That don't have that cognizance to understand?
It's like the adults that think pro wrestling's still real.
I mean,
am I wrong?
Speaking of.
Yeah.
McMahon's in trouble?
He paid off a girl to not talk about them having a little extramarital affair.
Disgusting.
I mean, he's 700 years old. I don't know.
700 million.
But listen, he is still jacked for an old man. That's what steroids will get you in your old age.
I'm 0% attracted.
I'm a little attracted.
I can tell.
Listen, listen, I'll take it. You give me a $3 million payout, I ain't mentioning shit we did. Do you have lunch? Nope, I don't even know him. Well, here's a picture of you two. That's deep fake. I don't know.
So he somehow, this kid somehow, which he's not a kid, it started out so innocently. Like he was just looking for family, looking for connection. He found a guy who had a wife, kids, kind of was sharing their life, but also sharing certain thoughts and theories. And then, so Gamergate comes into this because Gamergate kind of, I'd never heard of it.
Gamergate's aunt was like the people that supported Gamergate were like too much women shit. It was a very male dominated culture, and it still is for the most part. But like they felt there was too much influence of feminism, and there was some bad shit happened. Like they
really bad shit happened. Yeah. Essentially, one of the some gamer accuses his ex girlfriend of these really like awful things. Just someone like she was sleeping with people for reviews, and these people weren't even reviewing her stuff, but people latch on to this
because if you read it on the internet, it's true,
right? So people are latching on to this, and she kind of got doxxed, right? Like there's she had a, to I mean, move,
like and, the whole thing lasted a couple years, and
she has to move. I don't know, but it's ugly. But it's also this shift. Digging up of like screw this feminist mentality. Why do I as a male have to feel guilty?
Why can't the girls in these video games have these big old titties?
Right.
That was legit. If you want to sum it up, they were mad because they were making the titties smaller on female video game characters.
And they weren't being as seductive.
And that's some neckbeard shit. Like that's
it. But it all like comes out with and starts merging with a lot of this like anti-social justice warrior stuff. And so that starts bleeding into now you're talking about a society that is already kind of waking up and just showing its ass in general and other areas. So I had never heard that explanation.
You're
that
about to listen to PewDiePie.
Okay, and so I started that episode.
I know all about.
So I started that episode on the way to Moorhead.
Do they interview Felix?
Yes. He's all over it. I don't think they interview. He has some outtake. You know, I don't know if they interview him directly because there's so much content that they're kind of explaining the process, and they're doing a lot of excerpts, because I would love nothing more than to use this podcast, but I can't hardly go an episode without using anything because of the YouTube clips they pull in. Holy hell. Especially his stuff. But
wait, PewDiePie's?
Yeah.
So
he has a mouth on him.
He does, but he's the first, and listen, you guys turn this shit off. It's just some nerd shit. I'm just spouting my...
This is a very nerdy podcast I listened to, but I was in it to win it.
So PewDiePie, from Sweden,
moves
to, Spain. There's YouTube videos on his rise, but, he's just a kid making Call of Duty videos and explodes. Like, the algorithm hits him perfect because he's in Europe, but he speaks English, so people in America can watch, all that stuff. And then, he was the number one channel on YouTube forever.
Yeah.
Making millions of dollars a month.
But at this point, he's also getting other offers to do other things, and then it goes into him doing his own little, Fridays with PewDiePie, and it's just him kind of sounding off. He essentially doesn't really play much video games anymore. No. At some point.
I remember I watched all The Walking Dead, the Telltale Games, The Walking Dead, watched him do that.
I remember you playing those.
Yeah, and then watched him do The Wolf Among Us, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. He influenced me to buy those games. You know what I mean?
Yes, and that was the thing, is people were begging him to review games because a review from him...
If he just played it.
Yeah, he just plays it, and that's what I meant by review. Yeah. That exposure was just everything. It made or break, could make or break somebody.
He was known for the scary games.
I think that's how he got his fame, because he was so outrageous.
His screaming and stuff, in
his reaction. That was one
PewDiePie.
Way. And just his reaction to those. So he, this is happening, and then he has some deals with folks like Disney, I think. He had his own show.
Yeah, he had a YouTube Red show.
Yes, that was it. I couldn't think of what that was called. But then he starts getting into some YouTube drama regarding, YouTube is starting to, was it YouTube that's starting to, question his content or something, or somebody saying he's doing something? Oh, the press, sorry. It's not YouTube, it's the press.
Yeah, Wall Street Journal goes after him.
Yes, in that he has done some anti-Semitic things, or said them. Oh, Fiverr. He got on Fiverr and asked, he was basically trying to mock the fact that
you can do anything on Fiverr,
and so he does... In his stance, the story he's saying is, I did try to do something outrageous on Fiverr and ask these people to, people from a totally different country to say something totally anti-Semitic, and they did it. Granted, his point is, that's how ridiculous this thing is, but it doesn't quite come across as that. It comes across as, holy crap, dude, you can't do this anti-Semitic stuff. And then, so he starts kind of taking on this persona or becoming this persona, almost kind of trying to be the crazy conspiracy theorist person, but at the same time he's kind of acting like a crazy conspiracy theorist.
I don't know about that.
But
what got him was he said the N-word on a live stream playing.
So I'm not PUBG. There yet. I'm not there yet.
So
I
canceled pretty quick.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that was the only, not that is enough. Let me say that. That is enough. But I did not realize, because you told me that about him.
Yeah.
I did not realize that he had this up lead. Sorry, I just said that backwards. Lead up to these other things. So I think the podcast from Rabbit Hole is now kind of going into, the series is going into post-coronavirus YouTube and how they... once they kind of realize that they're, because after this, the Caleb stuff kind of went viral, they go back to the CEO of YouTube, and they're like, hey, what'd you think of the podcast? And she really dances around the whole thing. Like, are we really responsible for radicalizing people?
So for context, PewDiePie has been on YouTube since April 29th of 2010, right? Mm-hmm. He has 28 billion views with a B, a bazillion views.
Okay.
His most recent video just uploaded 3.5 million views in a day.
It's a lot.
So he's still making money.
Oh, yeah. I'm
done. But anyway. Yeah. So that was our conversation at lunch. So all that to say that we have some random.
I've got a lot on my mind. I'll not talk to you about. I just finished Unraveling Faith, which is a. It was basically a blog turned book, which I don't know that people do that anymore. That was kind of a thing at one point, people taking blogs and they would turn into memoirs and excerpts. But a woman named Rachel Held Evans was a strong evangelical fundamentalist raised actually in Dayton, Tennessee, which is the town most famous for.
The KKK.
No. The Scopes monkey trials. I don't know what that is. The evolution debate. Wow. Get me knowing things that Kira doesn't know. And so a very fundamentalist southern town where there is, you know, she ends up moving, goes to a Christian college and basically comes out asking a lot more questions than she anticipated about her
faith.
If she's
still around today, I would answer those for her.
Yes. She does a phenomenal job of unpacking kind of her doubt, her issues. And it's not doubt in God. It's just doubt in...
That's what messes everything up.
What?
People. People mess everything up.
They do.
Religion, business, politics... People.
We're messy and complicated, but sometimes it's got to get messy to get clean.
So one of my TikToks today, it was one of those stitches, and there was this preacher talking about where the Bible tells men not to have beards, that's it's not apostolic, it's worldly. And this guy was like, listen, there's no scripture that tells you that you're not to have a beard. He's like, that's the problem with fucking religion.
Yeah.
It's like... People are influenced and believe what pastors say because, you know, they...
Oh, there's that wild ass out of Tennessee that's like...
Greg Locke.
Oh, my God. Who has, like, politicized everything. He is...
Kicked the Democrats out of his church. He's talking about witches in his church.
He is a lunatic.
Listen, I bet, no offense, he probably got some sketchy YouTube video searches.
Somebody check his apps. You know.
Do you think people would rather have their YouTube history... leaked or Pornhub history leaked?
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
I mean, I think it would depend. I just never want anybody ever to look at my Google searches. I already got somebody on lock. It's going to erase my Google. It's just so I Google a lot of stupid things.
Like, what was my last Google search? How do you know what your Google search was?
Mine is on my phone, which I'm still using Safari, so let's just all go there.
Yeah.
I can't do this one. I can't. I tried to Google what my daughter Googled yesterday. Charlie got a stomach bug. Like, run-of-the-mill, she wakes up puking, which... Harlan's had something. I've had something. Like, in her mind, this came out of nowhere. I don't know what she has Googled, but dead ass looks. She tells me her Google. So I try to Google it to understand what she's telling me about her Google search. And what exactly is wrong with her. And she's like diagnosed herself with like gastrogynecolic fistula, something like an intestinal obstruction. She looks me dead in the eye. She was like, I have a vital organ shutting down. And I think she texts Gary that it was her liver. To me, it was her kidney, like dead serious. So I'm like, what are you? So I said, please tell me the exact words you Googled So I was like, that doesn't even sound like you Googled the right thing. I don't even know what you're on. You have a stomach virus. But that's, I had to look up the word religious pluralism. I didn't know what pluralism meant. So that's on my search history rabbit hole. And I had to Google, I had to search my OBGYN's phone number today.
I wonder if this is real. There's an ad that says, never lose your AirPods, introducing AirPod strap.
That cannot be real.
I don't know if it's real or not.
That has to be a fake. I need some headphones. My dollar store ones.
Not holding up.
They hold up great, but you've got 30 to 35 minutes max on a full charge.
Listen, we love you all. Thanks for hanging out, listening to our take. Like, well, if you got a podcast you want us to listen to and talk about, we'll do that.
Yeah, that's no different than us talking about shows that we watch.
God, I've been craving watching a new show. I don't know
what it is. I told you what I want to watch. Cult. It's a cult documentary on Netflix.
All right, we'll check that out when we get some time. Every time we sit down to do it, like the other night, I was like, hey, we're going to watch a movie. I come up. Abby has her phone in her lap with the weighted blanket, and she's out. I'm like, hey, you coming to bed? Yeah. Spoiler alert. She never came to bed.
I did, too.
At some point.
I did, too. Don't you lie. Keep sweet, pray, and obey. It is a Netflix series that apparently our daughter watched. I'm going to have to tighten up on what she's watching. Hey, are there some shows you're not allowed to download on Netflix?
You're asking the wrong guy. I have no idea.
I needed to work out the other night, and I tried to download something so I could watch it while I worked out.
Oh, you still got Abby still going hard on 75 Strong, so keep her in your prayers.
I hate it.
She's going to fucking kill one of us over it.
I almost quit today just because I wanted to quit. I'm just not. I've contemplated this, and I've said this before, but the only thing that is allowing me to do this is the privilege of time this summer. And even though I had, you know, some things today, like it was still very, very hard because I had to take care of home stuff.
We're getting a new toilet, guys.
Woohoo! All I want is it to be one of those really tall.
I want to be one of those Japanese ones that talks to you. It's got Wi-Fi on it.
Okay, no. I love the toilets that are in the handicap stalls because I struggle sitting really low to the ground sometimes. It hurts my knees. So I just want a really tall toilet. I know that's all we're going to get, but.
Philip Smith, I love you. If you got something, if you want me to read something for you next time, let me know. If you want a special episode just for you. Actually, he needs to just come here and do an episode with us.
Yes, that would be great.
So the schedule a time. He's got a little baby. We got to get his baby something.
I know. Let us get the water cleaned up in the basement, and we'll.
Yeah, that's supposed to happen tomorrow, too, so.
We're just fixing all the things.
Listen, in the stretches we go, like 8 or 9 days, it's crazy to see how many more people listen, like 90 people listened yesterday.
What? And 90 whole people?
And it's been over a week, yeah.
Shout out to the Queens. They listened. They listened on a trip.
We are happy to keep Bo. Like,
oh my gosh. We've got to get a Bo Harlan meetup. We've got to make it happen. We're just going to have to go make it happen.
Harlan let the plumber in today and said, hey, this is my mom. This is my dad.
So we will be adding maybe a Ring camera and extra security to our home because our son apparently just lets everybody in.
The plumber left, had to come back. Harlan's laying on the couch, getting ready to fall asleep. He says, come on in.
I love him. He is so friendly. It's terrifying. We're going to have to do something about that.
Don't forget, we have an Instagram page.
Yes.
We have a TikTok.
I posted a TikTok.
I know about me. I meant to post a TikTok about you.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
I do have some of your progress pics on my phone.
Oh, those progress pics go to zero places.
You get 10 people signed for Acast Plus, I'll leak Abby's progress pictures.
Or you can go and watch live walruses at the zoo try to put a sports bra on.
Titties.
You're stupid.
I love you all. I hope you have a great rest of the week. End of the weekend. We're going to do this again this weekend.
Yes.
And Abby, I love you.
Gary, I love you.
And until next time, I bid you adieu.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Close Enough.
Leave us a like on our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at Close Enough Pod.
Consider giving us a share and review on whatever platform you found us on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.